Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Kelvin Christian Reformed Church. Welcome to all of you worshiping here with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors, family, and friends that have joined us. Welcome, too, to those who are worshiping with us online. Glad that you're able to participate, even from a distance. It's good to be together as God's people, to remember what our God has done for us, and to bring Him our praises. This morning, I've got a couple of announcements that I should make just to keep us informed about what's going on in our community. So first, looking ahead a little bit, in 2 weeks, on November 20th, we're going to have our Thanksgiving supper that we have together as a church. Ham and potatoes have been donated. We're still looking for some people to help out with donating. We need 3 turkeys. So if you're interested in helping to provide turkey for that, you can talk to Mary Reed or to Mary Adama. So that's going to be, again, November 20th. That's in 2 weeks. We'll start the dinner at 5 p.m., and there's going to be more details next week in the bulletin, but just wanted to give everybody a chance to get that on your calendar. Then just a continuing reminder, next week is the week that the boxes are due for Operation Christmas Child. So if you took a box and have not returned it yet, please do that by next Sunday. Also then, looking ahead to next Sunday, I'm not going to be here. I have an appointment with classes to go and fill in at a church in Orange City. So I'll be off in Orange City next week, but Mr. Dan Tracy will be here, and he'll bring God's word for us. So please give Dan a warm welcome. It'll be good to have him back again. Then finally, this week is the week of the big soup supper. We've been talking about it for quite a while together. There are reminders in your mailboxes if you've signed up to bring something or help with something. There's still always room where we could use more people if you'd like to help out. So please talk to Steve or Kathy if you're willing to help out in any other way. And we will look forward to a good time together on Tuesday. We are here because we are God's people, because God calls us to be here and He wants to meet with us. Let's join together in reading a call to worship from God from Psalm 146. Please join in the reading on the screen or from your bulletin. And yeah, I see Dave trying to stand. Let's rise in body or in spirit. It'll be good to be up and reading together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's join together in singing, We Gather Together.
Together to ask. Thank you.
Our God greets us this morning, and he says to us, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. God's greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. Be seated. People of God, the Lord our God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Remembering that our God loves us, let's honestly come before him and confess our sins together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on us sinners. Lust and impurity infect our imaginations and twist our desires. We confess our wandering minds and our lingering, longing stares. We fantasize about sex with people on our screens and down the street. We reduce others to their bodies and treat them like objects to use for our own pleasure. We make crude comments. We turn to pornography. We pressure each other because we don't control our desires. Please forgive us. Purify our thoughts and desires so that we honor you with our bodies. Empower us to live chaste lives, to enjoy your good gift of sex only within marriage, and to protect our own relationships as well as others, through Jesus, our Savior. Lord, our shield and our defense, we look to you for help. You see how others insult us and spread rumors about us. We cry out to you alongside those who are slandered and plotted against and falsely accused. How long, Lord, will you look on? Lord, you have seen this. Do not be silent. Do not be far from us, Lord. Awake and rise to our defense. Contend for us, our God and Lord. Then our souls will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. Our whole beings will exclaim, "Who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. Now Jesus calls us to follow him. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Let's join together in singing once again. We're going to sing "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee." Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. Congregation of Jesus Christ, today we celebrate God's gift of faithful leadership for his people. We joyfully thank him for Dave Davilar and John Van Hill, deacons who served well in our church. And we praise him for providing their successors. In the office bearers of the church, we see the love of Christ for his people. As the Lord of the church, he appoints leaders to govern in his name and to promote the spiritual well-being of his people. By his Spirit, he equips these leaders so that believers may grow in faith, develop disciplined Christian living, serve others in selfless love, and share with all the good news of salvation. The Apostle Paul stated this most clearly when he wrote to the church. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And Jesus Christ taught us the spirit of true leadership when he said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Deacons serve by leading and equipping the church to minister to its members and the world in a rich diversity of ministries, awakening compassion, demonstrating mercy, seeking justice, and collaborating with God's Spirit for the transformation of persons and communities. In imitation of Christ's mercy, deacons teach us to love God, our neighbors, and the creation with acts of generous sharing, joyful hospitality, thoughtful care, and wise stewardship of all God's gifts. Deacons offer holistic responses that respect the dignity of people, working to change exploitative structures and systems, equipping the church for ministries of reconciliation and peacemaking, and seeking opportunities for advocacy. To help them accomplish these tasks, deacons are to identify and develop gifts both in the church and in the community. By adding to all this words of encouragement and hope, deacons demonstrate in word and deed the care of the Lord himself. The deacons and elders, together with the ministers, are responsible for the general administration of the church. These tasks of elders and deacons call for believers who are Christ-like, who are mature in the faith, and who exercise their offices with prayer, patience, and humility. Today, we intend to ordain deacons and install them for terms of service in this congregation. Those appointed to the office of deacon are Lori Lynn and John Clockstein. Lori and John, I invite you to come forward now. I'll meet you up front here by the communion table. Right here's good. So Lori and John, to express your acceptance of this office, you are asked to stand, as you already are, and here in the presence of God and his church, to answer the following questions. First, do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God himself is calling you to this holy office? Second, do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and life? Third, do you subscribe to the doctrinal standards of this church, rejecting all teaching which contradicts them? And finally, do you promise to do the work of your office faithfully, in a way worthy of your calling, and in submission to the government and discipline of the church? Lori, what is your answer?
Yes, with God's help.
And John, what is your answer?
I do
All right, let's pray for the two of you. God, our Heavenly Father, you have called John and Lori to this sacred office. Please guide them by your word, equip them with your spirit, and prosper their ministries so that your church may increase and your name may be praised. Amen. You guys can return to your seats. I charge you, deacons, to inspire faithful ministries of service to one another, to the larger community, and to the world. Remind us that the Lord requires us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Teach us to be merciful and to seize new opportunities to worship God with offerings of wealth, time, and ability. Realize that benevolence is a quality of our life in Christ and not merely a matter of financial assistance. Therefore, minister to rich and poor alike, both within and outside the church. Weigh our opportunities for giving and service, and use the church's resources discerningly. Be compassionate to those in need, and treat them with dignity and respect. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage with words that create hope in hearts and deeds that bring joy to lives. Be prophetic critics of the waste, injustice, and selfishness in our society, and be sensitive counselors to the victims of such evils. Let your lives be above reproach. Live as examples of Christ Jesus. Look to the interests of others. And in all your ministries, help us participate in the renewing of all things, even as we anticipate its completion when God's kingdom comes. I charge you, people of God, to receive these office bearers as Christ's gift to the church. Recognize in them God's provision for healthy congregational life. Hold them in honor. Take their counsel seriously. Respond to them with obedience and respect. Accept their help with thanks. Wholeheartedly participate in the ministries into which they lead you. Sustain them in prayer and encourage them with your support, especially when they feel the burden of their office. Acknowledge them as the Lord's servants among you. Do you, congregation, pledge to receive them as you have been charged? We do, God helping us. Let's join together in prayer. Our merciful Father in heaven, we thank you that you have provided faithful and gifted people to serve as elders and deacons. As these new office bearers assume their responsibilities, fill them with your spirit, endow them with your wisdom, and grant them strength. Make them faithful workers in your vineyard. Under their guidance, may your church grow in every spiritual grace, in faith which is open and unashamed, and in the committed service that promotes your reign in the world. Help them to perform their duties with enthusiasm and humility. In their work, grant them a sense of sustained awe that is rooted in daily adoration of you, their Lord. Through them, may your name be honored and your church be served. Help us, your people, to accept them gladly, encourage them always, and respect them for the sake of your precious Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, we have special people in our congregation set aside for leadership roles like elders and deacons. We are all the people of God. We all have responsibility to represent God in our daily lives. One of the ways we do that is by bringing prayers to God on behalf of not just ourselves, but the others around us. We have a couple of prayer updates that we should remember together. First, as you may have seen in the prayer chain yesterday, Tom Biorgi, is in the hospital in Sioux City. They've had some concerns about Tom's heart. They were able to drain some fluid. They're going to be doing some more tests tomorrow. But Tom is stable now, and we'll pray for healing and for answers. We also want to give thanks to God. We've been praying for a number of weeks for Lori's grandson, Colton. He was able to come home from the NICU yesterday. Things are going well. So we give thanks for God's work in his life and for the development and growth we've seen. Let's bring these and other prayer requests before God together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you, for you are a great and wonderful God. We praise you for your love, which is stronger and more enduring than even the mountains. We praise you for the beauty of your tender compassion for us, that you care for every one of us and for each of our needs. We praise you for your awesome power that makes even the earth itself tremble. Lord, we thank you for signs of your goodness among us. We thank you for answering our prayers for Colton and enabling him to come home. And we pray with trust for your continued work in his life, that he would grow and develop well. We thank you for the satisfaction you give us when we are able to get work done and complete our projects. We thank you for the joy of being able to serve and help others. We thank you for the gift of salvation that you bring us through Jesus Christ. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we live in a world that is imperfect and broken. We cry out to you when we see the things that go on around us. We look at pollution and waste. We look at racism and distrust, hunger and poverty and crime. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing, that you would set the world the way that it's supposed to be, that you would open our eyes if there are any ways in which we contribute to these evils and help us to seek your will. Lord, we pray for the election this week. We pray that you would give us good leaders who will do what is good and right and fair, who will seek your ways and not the ways of this world. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, we pray especially for those who have special needs today. We think of Tom Bjorgi. We pray that you would give him peace, and Ina as well. And we pray that you give them answers for what's been troubling Tom. We pray for others with ongoing health concerns. John Van Hill and Glenda Hoffland and Jan Hughes and Glenda Volink. We pray that you would make your presence known to them in a clear way, that you would bring them relief from pain and discomfort. We pray for those who are shut in and who are not able to be with us. We think particularly of Audrey and Frank and Denise in the care centers. We pray that you'd protect them from loneliness. We pray for Jerry Reed and Mary and their family after the passing of Jerry's brother, that you'd bring comfort to them. Lord, we give you thanks for the ways in which you meet our everyday needs, for the food and shelter that we have. We pray that you would make us generous in sharing with those who do not have the blessings we have. We pray for the flourishing of our community here in Lamar's. We pray that you'd bless health, that you'd bless the families around us, provide housing for those who need it, bless the business and the work and development that is done in our community. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lord, help us to recognize just how much grace you have shown us in Christ. Make us gracious and patient people, recognizing just how much you love us. We pray for healing where there are strained marriages, where there are hurting families, where there are damaged friendships. We pray that you would bring healing to divisions in our community and nation, that you would make us people who seek peace. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see through the lies of the devil and the world and our own sinful desires to follow you. We pray that you would break sinful patterns in our lives, even those we don't recognize, that you'd free us from the difficult sins of jealousy, anger, hatred, and selfishness, pride and lust, and so many more. We pray for those who struggle with addiction, that you would give them freedom and hope in you. We pray for those who feel like their lives aren't worth living, that you would give them safety and security and joy through Jesus Christ. We pray all these things to you, Lord our God, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the ways we get to worship God is by giving back to him through our offerings. As we receive our offering for our church's ministries this morning, we'll also sing together, "Give Thanks." It's time for our children's message. So kids, if you want to come forward, you can do that now, and we'll talk for a little while. We got a couple more coming. Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Good. I'd like to ask you a question here, but I'm going to need you, could you get down on the floor for a second? I don't want you to hurt yourselves. So stand up on the floor. Stand up. Do you guys know how to jump? Could you jump up and down for me? Yeah. All right, that's good. How long do you guys think that you could jump up and down for?
13 days.
13 days. Wow. That's a long time. You can jump up and down for a long time without getting tired, can't you? Yeah. But do you think you could keep jumping forever? No. What would happen eventually? You get dizzy and tired? What would you have to do if you got too tired? You have to sleep, maybe? Yeah. Okay. You can sit back down if you want. Now, so you guys are really good at jumping. You can jump for a long time. Now, I want you to think about your grandma and your grandpa. Do you think they could jump as good as you can? No. Do you think they could jump as long as you can? No. Why not?
Because they're older.
Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when people get older, it gets harder for them to do some stuff. They can't jump up and down quite as long as they used to. They can't jump up and down. They can't run around quite as much as they did when they were younger. Sometimes we all get tired. And sometimes people like our grandma and grandpa get tired even a little bit quicker than we do. Because we can't keep going and going and going forever. But God promises us that when we believe in him, that he's going to give us eternal life. And when he gives us eternal life, then even people that have gotten older and that have gotten a little bit weaker and a little bit more tired, everybody will be strong again. Everybody will have energy again. We won't get tired anymore. We won't need sleep anymore. God says that he can give us life that lasts forever. So we're going to talk about that a little bit with our sermon today. But you guys get to go to children's worship, so let me pray with you, and then we'll let you go. Dear God, thank you for our kids. Thank you for their energy and their excitement. We pray that you'd help them to have a good time in children's worship, that they would come to know more about you, and to enjoy their time together as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming forward, guys. You can go with Miss Tessa. We are going to look at a passage from the book of Ecclesiastes together this morning. We've been looking at Ecclesiastes for a little while now, and we are going to look towards the end of the book. This is kind of the second to last section in the book, and we're starting to sort of wrap things up, get a summary of what we found through the book, and see about what God means for us in our daily lives. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, through the power of your Spirit, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your world. Teach us to walk in your ways and fill us with the joy of fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll read together this morning Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 7 through chapter 12, verse 8. So those words will be up on the screen if you'd like to follow along there. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, that's good as well. Again, we'll read Ecclesiastes 11:7 through 12:8. Hear the word of the Lord. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. This is the word of the Lord. The teacher has been searching high and low for meaning throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. He has thoroughly examined all sorts of things that people try to build their lives around: wisdom and pleasure and work and wealth and more. But again and again, he has concluded that all of these things, no matter how appealing, no matter how truly good they may be, cannot give meaning to human life. As the teacher comes to the end of his often frustrating and disappointing quest, he reflects on life and death, on youth and old age. First, the good news. Life is good. Using light to represent life, the teacher declares that life is sweet like honey. It's meant to be savored and enjoyed. Being alive in this world is pleasant and desirable, so make the most out of every year you've got. Rejoice in every delightful thing that comes your way, singing along to your favorite song on max volume, walking on the beach at sunset, backyard parties with dear friends and cool drinks and food fresh off the grill, marrying your best friend, raising kids together, all of those big and small blessings that come your way, that make your eyes sparkle and your heart sing. Especially while you're young and energetic, discover what it is that makes you happy. Go for it. Chase your dreams. Make memories. Use your opportunities to live it up before it's too late. Don't get so bogged down by your worries and your pains that you miss out on what's good in life. Make the most of your days. Really live while you're alive. Now is the time to take that dream vacation, to learn how to dance, to pursue your crush, to find that job that you're passionate about, even if it doesn't pay so well. Let your heart be your guide. Follow whatever catches your eye. But before you can peel out in your Ferrari and race off to the next party, the teacher throws a bucket of water on the fire that he's just stoked. In typical fashion, he counters his encouraging statements of joy with depressing, even miserable-sounding remarks. Remember that plentiful days of darkness, decline, and death are looming on the horizon while you're trying to enjoy the light. After all, everything that you try to do will only turn out to be meaningless. And before you use your freedom to just indulge your every desire, know that God is going to hold you accountable for all your actions. Oh, and by the way, your youth and your strength and your energy are fleeting. They can't give meaning to your life either. So enjoy! Now, the teacher really does recommend enjoying life, when possible, within the bounds of God's instructions. But he's balancing things here. He's not going to encourage us to blindly and foolishly chase happiness that won't last, thinking that nothing bad will ever happen to us. Understanding that earthly things don't last forever, prepares us for inevitable disappointment. It warns us not to get too attached to earthly delights that cannot fulfill us. But at the same time, in a more positive note, remembering that life is short, that life can often be difficult, should make us appreciate the good things that we have even more. The teacher doesn't just want us to be miserable, but he doesn't want us to be careless either. He wants us to approach life with perspective. And the teacher has one more piece of advice to shape our perspective. Remember your Creator as you enjoy the light of life. Remember God right away, even while you're still young and strong. Remembering, both here and throughout the Bible, is an active word. I don't know that we always think of it that way. But for example, when God remembers his people, that means he takes action to help them, to rescue them. So if we truly remember God, that means that we'll seek him. We'll build our lives around enjoying him and pleasing him. Looking to God as the Creator helps us to think of life and all of its blessings as gifts from God, who wants us to enjoy them and use them responsibly. God is the one who makes human happiness possible. But once again, the teacher warns that youth and happiness and life don't last forever in this world. Remember God now, before the days of trouble come. Growing old isn't fun. Age brings a heap of challenges and pains that end with unavoidable death. Now, rather than just giving us a list of the troubles of age, like failing eyesight or hearing loss or stiff joints or trembling hands, the teacher instead gives us a series of unsettling images that fill us with dread about the approach of old age and eventually death. Light, which once again symbolizes life, begins to fade away. Growing old can feel as ominous and hopeless as dark clouds coming back right after a rain. The threat of a fierce storm at a rundown mansion makes an old and tired and dwindling staff stop working and try to shut things up for safety. Similarly, our bodies often begin to deteriorate. And people become more isolated as death looms. Declining mobility increases fears, makes going out more and more of a challenge. Eventually, a person goes to their home in the grave. Mourners go out from the funeral into the streets. The golden lamp that's hung from a silver cord breaks. And the fragile, precious light of life is lost. The pulley and jar at the well shatter, making the water of life inaccessible. The person comes undone. Their body returns to dust. Their spirit returns to God, who breathed life into them in the beginning. It's an awful, miserable picture, and I'm sure you don't want your 30-something pastor up here telling it to you. But I don't think the teacher's goal here is to make us depressed about getting older, though I gotta say, he does a really good job of that. But no, throughout the book, the teacher has been writing from a perspective that views death as the absolute end of a human being. The teacher thinks of nothing past death. And while he's referred to God occasionally throughout the book, he's mostly described human beings trying to live on our own, apart from God. What the teacher wants us to see is that if death is final, if our bodies and souls separate and we are simply no more, then old age should absolutely terrify us. Because growing old then simply reminds us that death is coming, and maybe soon. In that case, all our achievements and attributes and activities will pass away, all becoming meaningless, because the world will just keep on going without us. So, the teacher says, remember your Creator now, because you don't know when you'll die. Remember God while you're young, when it's easier to recognize His gifts like health and strength. Remember Him before you look back as an elderly person and feel like you've wasted your life chasing nothing that really mattered in the end. Enjoy God. Enjoy His gifts before death comes. Apart from God, nothing gives meaning to life. Without God, everything is finally meaningless. We need to understand that life without God is meaningless. Many people in our world embrace or just sort of settle into atheism, living as if God doesn't exist, or at least doesn't matter. And we Christians, too, face a strong temptation to live like practical atheists, ignoring God throughout much of our daily lives as we pursue whatever we want. But we need God. If there is nothing beyond this life on earth, then all we're living for is ourselves, or maybe some other person, a son or a daughter we take under our wing. But it's clear to all of us that we will die, that they will die. And then, what would anything matter? Everything we've lived for would just be over, gone. Life feels pretty pointless if it's just going to end. But we see people living this out day by day. These feelings of meaninglessness and pointlessness lead people to go in two very different directions. For some of us, focusing more on the darkness of death, we fall into despair. Nothing seems worth doing or caring about. Work or hobbies just become a way to fill the time as we stumble through life because we're sure that nothing really matters. We might become scared to get too attached to any person, too invested in anything, because we know it can't last forever. I think that this is the way the teacher often comes across as we read Ecclesiastes. Unsatisfied, depressed, miserable. And we know people like this. Think of the man drinking just to forget about his life. Think about the high schooler that doesn't care about making friends because she knows they're just going to go their separate ways after graduation. The couple that doesn't see the point in bringing children into this messed up world. This despair can come more easily with old age, which naturally makes people think more about death. I think we see that especially in those nursing home residents who wonder why they're still here, who complain like nothing is enough to ever satisfy them. The teacher is searching and searching because we want more than this. Others of us go the opposite direction. Dazzled by the light of life, we want to experience and enjoy everything while we can. I think this is the way we often hear the teacher's advice about being happy now. We think that we have to create our own satisfaction. So we furiously chase after anything and everything that we think will make others pay attention to us during the days of our lives. Anything that can make us feel good, that in the hopes that we can convince ourselves that we matter, even if it's only for a little bit. Everything then can start to take on this crushing sense of importance. Like every activity, every decision needs to be perfect. Otherwise, we fear that we're going to miss out, that no one's going to care, that we won't be special. Think of the woman. It's documenting every aspect of her life on social media like it's some sort of exciting adventure. The college kid who's wearing himself out, trying to be part of 6 student organizations. The family who always has to outdo last year's vacation or Christmas party. The new hires that are sure they're going to make a name for themselves through their hard work and their fresh ideas. This quest for enjoyment and some kind of meaning often goes with the energy and the confidence of youth. But as the teacher has warned us again and again, nothing that we make or do on our own can ultimately fulfill us. Life without God is meaningless. Life without God is hopeless. But with God, there is hope. With God, there is meaning. Meaning that we don't have to search for or create ourselves. God is our creator. God made humanity for a purpose. Belonging to Him. Walking with Him. Reflecting Him in our lives. The good news is that God, your creator, loves and values you. He made you intentionally. While God does want you to enjoy things like taking a walk or going on vacation, putting in a good day's work, hanging out with friends, God calls you to experience the true fulfillment, the ultimate satisfaction that He alone gives. God designed you to find true meaning through living for and with Him, the eternal, living God. And to use the words of the book of Psalms, the fountain of life is with God. It's only in His light that a person can see the true light of life. Rejecting God means rejecting meaning in our lives. Now, humanity has turned away from God. Every one of us seeks meaning and fulfillment on our own, separating ourselves from God, choosing a path that ends in eternal death. But Christ Jesus, God's Son, came so that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus laid down His life and took it up again to rescue His people. When Christ works in you and you believe in Him, He makes you right with God, and He gives you eternal life. Christ calls us to a meaning-filled life, a life of learning to live like Him, a life of becoming who God made you to be. And Jesus conquers death for His people. When Christians die, He takes our souls to be with Him, awaiting the last day when He will raise our bodies to live forever. Jesus restores life and meaning to God's people here and now, as Sharon Predica testifies. Sharon remembers going through a period where her life felt increasingly empty. She says, "I'd spent so much time chasing an identity and trying to fit in, through the clothing I wore, through the music I listened to, through the activities I cared about, hoping that I would find people's approval or admiration or envy or something. But no matter how hard she tried, nothing worked. Sharon couldn't find meaning on her own. She didn't notice at first, but God was stirring in her heart. As Sharon sought answers, God made her realize that he was offering her new, true life. She says, with God, you could just be who you were in him. And that was it. Nobody to please, nobody to impress. How that appealed to me. God freed Sharon from this constant search for meaning. She says that even after decades of believing in Jesus, Jesus still gives her a sense of worth through his love for her. He provides her with purpose and satisfaction in learning to love him more every day. Sharon says, his promise to me wasn't a momentary thrill, but a lifetime of joy, knowing that I'm clean and forgiven in him. Through Jesus, God is drawing Sharon closer and closer to him. Jesus offers us abundant, eternal life in him. And he doesn't make us wait for this gift of life. He gives it to us the moment we believe in him. Here and now, in the rest of our lives, Christ calls us to the satisfaction of doing meaningful work for him, in gratitude for his love for us. Work like practicing forgiveness or empathy in imitation of Jesus. Offering a neighbor a home-cooked meal or help with yard work in Jesus' name. Building friendships with newcomers and outsiders. Telling others about the hope and satisfaction that Jesus alone gives. Because Christ lives forever, because he works through us, the service that he helps us do for him is never wasted, never pointless. Because Jesus will restore and transform our lives when he raises the dead, all our growth in him is moving toward his purpose for us. The work he does in us does not end at death. He'll continue it and restore it. Even when we struggle and fail, Jesus assures us that he always loves and keeps working to make us like him. In the face of our decline and death, Christ is present with us to give us strength. He promises that he will one day take away our pain and sorrow, raise us to life beyond death. Christ makes our struggles and our death temporary. He makes our life and our joy never ending. Jesus shows us his love every time he helps us to enjoy life or to love others or to find rest in him. Through Jesus, our lives may end in death, but he will raise them up and continue them again. They will not be wasted because Jesus gives us life. Jesus gives us meaning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Thank you for providing salvation from sin and death so that your people may live with you forever. Thank you for teaching us how to truly live by following your example of love and faithfulness, justice and mercy. Help us to build our lives around you. Work in us through your Holy Spirit so that we become the people you have made and called us to be. Fill us with the joy and fulfillment of belonging to you, following you, and experiencing your love. through your Spirit. Amen. In response to God's word, let's proclaim together what we believe. We're going to use the Heidelberg Catechism, two questions that focus on the life God gives and his purpose for us. That's questions 6 and 58. I'll read the questions. Let's join together in reading the answers, whether you read off the screen or out of the bulletin. Did God create people so wicked and perverse?
No.
God created them good and in his own image, that is, in true righteousness and holiness, so that they might truly know God their Creator, love him with all their heart, and live with God in eternal happiness to praise and glorify him. That gift was threatened and lost through our sin, but it is restored through Jesus Christ, who gives us life everlasting. So how does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you? Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness, such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God forever. Amen. Let's join together in singing, My Soul Finds Rest. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Thank you.
Jesus sends us forth to live for him in our daily lives. So whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And know that God sends us forth with his blessing. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.